Welcome to this special presentation of Lent, a time for transformation with Father Matthew Spencer. This recording is being offered in appreciation for your recent generosity to Relevant Radio. Your financial support allows us to continue reaching souls with the message of Jesus Christ and the fullness of truth found only in the Catholic Church. If you'd like to learn more about Relevant Radio, find prayer and faith resources, hear past shows and interviews, and so much more, please visit RelevantRadio.com or download the free Relevant Radio app in your mobile device's app store. Father Matthew Spencer is the Provincial of the Oblates of St. Joseph, a Relevant Radio contributor and guest host. Now, Lent, a time for transformation.
It is that time of year again. Lent is upon us. And what a time it's going to be, a time of grace, time of blessing, a time of growth, renewal, transformation in your spiritual life. That is my prayer for you. My name is Father Matthew Spencer. I'm the provincial of a small religious community called the Oblates of St. Joseph. I'm a grateful guest and sometimes guest host here on Relevant Radio. Just a member of this big Relevant Radio family, and very grateful to be bringing you this reflection as we prepare for Lent and prepare to celebrate Easter. I'm so glad that you are listening to this because it means that you also feel a part of this family. You're listening to this precisely because of your gift and your pledge and your generosity during our latest pledge drive. So let me just tell you how grateful I am for you. And I'm so happy that you can join me for some preparation as we now embark upon this Lenten journey. Let me say something maybe a little eye-opening. This could be the best Lent of your life. And that's not an exaggeration. It really could be. But let me say something else to you. That is going to depend in large part on you. Now, that might sound a little strange because God's grace clearly is not something I can control. God's grace is clearly within His hands and His power to dish out and to pour out as He sees fit. And that is true, but let's stop and think about something else. Has there ever been a Lent when God's grace has lacked in your life? Has there ever been a Lent in which God was miserly with His grace, with His blessing? Absolutely not. From the age of 3 months old to the age of 93 years old, and wherever you find yourself in that spectrum, we know that every Lent you have lived has been sufficient, has been filled with God's grace. And if I've had a poor experience of Lent, that's not on the Lord. That's unfortunately on me. That's unfortunately on the poor way maybe that I've lived that Lent, or maybe the neglectful way that I've lived that. I hope that this Lent will be the best one ever in your life. And that's going to depend on how well you and I put into practice what God makes available to us, because His grace is right there. His grace is sufficient. And therefore, the real question is, what am I going to do during this Lent to make sure that I'm truly immersed in what God has in store for me? I was thinking back to a Lent a few years back, 2010, in fact. I had already, by this point, experienced a few different Lents in my life. I was in my early 30s, so I had gone through Lent as a young boy, as an adolescent, as a young man. I had experienced many sacrifices and disciplines that my parents had helped me cultivate, many that I had just grown to put into practice during my life, oftentimes without thinking about it too much, oftentimes without pondering what I should do and what I should take up during Lent. Ash Wednesday would come around and I'd say, oh, it's that time to give up chocolate, to give up caffeine, to give up those small little treats that I enjoy so much. In other words, Lent had become rather routine. And then 2010 comes around. And Lent was very different, in part because it was my first Lent as a Catholic priest. It was the first Lent I experienced where I was celebrating the sacraments for the people of God, where I was on the other side of the screen in the confessional, where I was getting to see firsthand, up close and personal, how God's grace was being made available and present in people's lives in a new way. What was powerful for me wasn't so much the fact that I was an ordained minister. What was very moving for me was that it was a whole new experience. And that's what I would propose to you to start. To make this Lent better than Lents that have come before it, it is necessary to realize that this Lent is different. You are a different person than any year previously. Your experiences are different. Your griefs and your struggles, the sorrows and joys that you're experiencing, these are different than last year and than every year before. The world is different. The church is different. And if we're not careful, what happens is in the midst of our routine, we forget that God's grace also is new, that God is in our lives, pouring out in his creative action, new ways, new channels, new possibilities for us to experience his love and to share that love with others. If you want this Lent to be a truly transformative experience, it is necessary to acknowledge, to be aware of, but also to intentionally work on the fact that this is something different and new, and God wants you to experience it in a new way. How do you do that concretely? Well, it does help to take up some different sacrifices than years past. This is not to say that you have to reinvent the wheel. Many of those simple sacrifices you've made over the years are helpful. They'll help you to grow in your spiritual life. They'll aid you in your walk with Jesus. But don't forget that if you just go back to a routine, then it might not be the best way to experience God's creative presence anew in your life. You might need to mix it up a little bit. And again, this doesn't mean trying to reinvent the wheel, and it doesn't mean trying to take on sacrifices that are new and different just for the sake of being new and different. No, it means to think through very carefully what you're giving up, and is this going to truly help you in that process? Okay, so that's my first proposal for you. And the second one dovetails nicely into this. I think it's best illustrated perhaps with an example. Remember when I entered the seminary, one of the disciplines that my religious community invited us to practice was daily meditation. So every day we gather in the chapel, usually early in the morning. We sit down together for 30 minutes in silent meditation. And when I first started this practice, it was very hard. It was very difficult because it's hard to silence your mind. It's hard to sit still, but it's even harder to let your mind be still. And I remember those first few months, sometimes every once in a while experiencing great joy in meditation, experiencing great profit from having spent that time. But to be honest, most of the times that I was in there, I was coming out thinking, well, I don't know if that really leads to any great change, any great improvement in my life. In other words, I don't know if this was worth it for me. I must be doing something wrong. And for those first few months, what I kept doing was I kept chasing after the experience of peace in meditation. I kept chasing after those few fleeting times where I really felt God's presence, where I really felt immersed in his love, where I had this sense of quiet and stillness, and where interiorly everything was perfect and fine. And I was chasing after that experience, if you get my drift. I was trying with all my heart, with all my might, to try and relive those moments, imagining that that's what meditation was about, arriving at these points of contemplation or closeness with the Lord in my feelings, in my emotions, and in my intellect. Now, don't get me wrong, it's wonderful when that happens during meditation, but that's not the normal experience. That's the occasional gift and consolation that the Lord gives to us. In general, meditation itself is a discipline in which we quiet our minds in order to allow God to speak. And sometimes he speaks and sometimes he doesn't. But if he doesn't speak, it doesn't mean that that time of meditation is not valuable, is not worth it. In fact, I started to notice that the meditation that I was exercising and practicing would lead me to be a little more calm throughout the day, would lead me to be a little more peaceful outside of those chapel times. In other words, the effects of meditation were overflowing, not just in the time I spent in chapel, but outside of that, in the rest of my life. I found myself being more peaceful, more patient, and more aware of how God was being present to me in other people. It changed my approach to meditation, and it changed the why that I always struggled to find in the role of meditation in my life. The reason I'm sharing this with you is that every spiritual discipline, I think, needs to be thought out and considered, not just in the immediate benefits we're going to receive, but more importantly, in the deeper why of why I'm doing this. In other words, let's take a simple example, simple sacrifice that lots of people do during Lent. Lots of people will give up sweets during Lent. They'll give up sweets maybe because they have a sweet tooth, maybe because they know it's unhealthy for them and they know that it's a sacrifice to do that. And by being a little healthier, by exercising self-discipline and self-mastery, this is going to make their Lenten experience better. All of that is great. But when you're in the midst of temptation and you're thinking about that one chocolate that's really calling out to you, that's really attracting your attention, oftentimes what we find ourselves doing is focusing not on the deeper why of this discipline, but rather simply on the what of the discipline. Well, it's the chocolate right in front of me. I can't have it. And so I have to muster all of this willpower and I have to really strive to not fall into temptation here. All of that is fine if you can find the willpower in that moment, but sometimes you can't. And instead of depending on motivation or willpower in that moment, we have to be ready to turn to the deeper why. I am giving up this chocolate so that I can be detached in a deeper way from my passions and desires. I'm giving up this small thing so that I can grow in self-mastery. Because in order to grow in self-discipline, it needs to happen through small, concrete steps. And so I'm going to exercise this small discipline in order to grow in this area of my life. The why, in other words, leads us to this deeper appreciation of the whole point of these sacrifices. Why are you giving up the things you are this Lent? Why are you taking on the spiritual disciplines that you are? Maybe you've decided to pray the rosary daily during Lent, and maybe that's something you haven't done before. Well, I salute you. I think this is an excellent way to start a great new habit in your life of praying the rosary daily. But don't forget while you're doing this that the end goal is not so that you can pat yourself on the back, check something off of a list at the end of the day, and feel good about the fact that you've said the rosary. The whole point is to have a deeper relationship with Mary, to be able to prioritize your time better, to be able to recognize the importance of prayer in your life. Every discipline that we take upon during Lent should lead us to this deeper awareness of our relationship with God and should lead us to a deeper love of the risen Lord. So think about that as you're working through these different disciplines that you're taking on. Why am I doing it? Do I need that in my life? And if I do, then maybe I need to get serious about making sure that I'm faithful in this way. And I can tell you, it's going to aid you when temptation strikes. It's going to give you more consistency in the observance of those disciplines. And it's going to help you find more success, not because you've finished that discipline every day of this great season, but because that discipline is leading you to something deeper, something better in your life. So beware of the danger of routine when it comes to Lent. Make sure you're thinking about the deeper reasons of why you're taking on the disciplines you are. Think through them well. Don't just do them out of habit, but ponder what those deeper reasons that you're taking those disciplines on are. The next point and moment of reflection I'd like to share with you, I think, is illustrated by an experience I had in Lent of 2001. At this point in my life, I hadn't yet discovered my religious and priestly vocation. In fact, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I had just graduated from college. I was pursuing a career in the tech industry. I found myself living a rather fast-paced, frenetic life. But at this point, in March and April of 2001, I also found myself very, very ill. It was a strange experience, because in that Lent, I had tried to take on these simple disciplines, as I had done many, many times before. But in this case, that Lent was not unfolding at all the way I expected. Instead of giving up caffeine and, who knows, sugar, I found myself in the hospital eventually. Instead of giving up my time to pray the rosary or to do the Stations of the Cross on Fridays, I found myself dying from a bleed in my brain. It was a harrowing time in my life. And I think back to those weeks and those months, and I think that was a terrible Lent, if you think about it from a human experience, in the sense that my disciplines were not very good. I was not very focused in that way. There were few times where I found myself able to spiritually engage with the Lord. In fact, I think I was so stressed and so afraid of what might happen in my life that I was not thinking very much about trusting in God's mercy, and certainly not thinking much about Easter and the resurrection. Now, I share this with you because I look and I think that was probably the most fruitful Lent in my life, believe it or not. That was perhaps the Lent when God was doing the most in my life. And although I was very much unaware of God's grace working at that time, I can look back and think God gave me so many sacrifices that I would never have chosen, that I would never have accepted. But because they came from Him, they were all the more powerful. Because they were things that God willed for me, they ended up being so much more fruitful when I eventually finally surrendered to them. Clearly, I survived that whole ordeal, and thanks be to God, that whole experience led me to discover the Lord's love and call for me in my life in a much deeper way. But I share this with you because I think oftentimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that this Lent will be defined by the disciplines or the sacrifices or the choices that I make. And when we do that, the danger is that we miss the opportunities that God gives us to exercise virtue. Now notice, it's still on me to live those moments well, but sometimes God chooses different sacrifices I need to embrace than the ones that I think I should embrace. Simple experiences you're going to have this Lent that might not be what you chose. Maybe it's frustrations in your daily or weekly shopping, I should say. Maybe it's difficulties in your daily commute. Maybe it's challenges in relationships that emerge in times when you least expect it. There might be sufferings and trials and difficulties that arise during this Lenten season. And one of the dangers, one of the challenges that is put before us is whether we are going to miss those opportunities, whether we are going to avoid those ways of grace working in our life, or whether we're going to embrace them. Sometimes it's not what we think we need, but rather what God places right before us. So you might have tried to give up chocolate for Lent, and God says, no, in fact, I want you to love your mother-in-law better. You might think that you're going to pray the rosary daily, and the Lord says, great, I'm going to give you half an hour of traffic on the way to work so that you can get that rosary in. Those experiences, I really believe, can be very helpful in our spiritual life. But notice, we have to embrace them first. We have to accept them in order for them to be fruitful in our life. In my case, I found myself dying in a hospital and suffering from this terrible, terrible affliction. It could have passed me by without any sanctification if I had been bitter or resentful or rejected these moments. But thankfully, God didn't let them pass by without some transformation happening in my life, without some participation on my part. And I'm so grateful for that, because that Lent proved to be so helpful in my growth in holiness, much more so than if I had just picked out certain sacrifices. So, will this Lent be exactly what you expect? I certainly hope not, because God's surprises are always so much better than what we plan. Be on the lookout for those opportunities. Be on the lookout for those times that God is going to give you to live better those experiences of His grace. The final point of reflection I'd like to invite you to consider is to decide now, what is your attitude going to be during Lent? Just decide, make a decision. Are you going to be a resentful person during Lent? Are you going to be a bitter person? Are you going to be an angry person because of your disciplines, because of the sacrifices you're making? Are you going to let other people see that you're suffering? Or are you going to put on a robe of joy? Are you going to accept and embrace these small, simple sacrifices because the Lord loves you, the Lord will care for you, the Lord is going to see what you do, and He's going to bless you for it? Every Ash Wednesday, of course, we hear from Matthew 6, and we hear Jesus talking about the importance of almsgiving, of prayer, of fasting. And of course, He says, when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you pray, go to your room, close the door, don't let other people look upon you and lift you up and think highly of you. When you fast, wash your face, look decent, don't let other people know that you're suffering. And all of these reasons, Jesus says, do them because the Father sees what happens in secret, and the Father will reward you for doing these things. On the other hand, if we do them so that other people notice, then all of that merit is gone. All of that possibility of growth and of virtue entering into our life just evaporates. On the other hand, if we do these things with joy, if we do these things without attracting attention to ourselves, if we do these things realizing that we are blessed to get to do them, we are blessed to be invited to participate in the cross of the Lord. What a blessing it is. What a joy it should be for us to unite our sufferings and our small little sacrifices to the sacrifices of Jesus on the cross. In part because we get much more out of them than we put in. When we are trying to detach ourselves from sin, from vice, from all of the things that might pull us away from the Lord, the end result is that we're happier anyway. So decide now. And I just encourage you to choose joy, I encourage you to enter this Lenten season aware that things will pop up, understanding that there will be some surprises along the way, and some of those surprises won't be nice and easy to receive. But embrace them peacefully, embrace them patiently, accept them joyfully, and God will bring many, many fruits from your small offerings that you make here. So I'm so happy that we could begin this time together. I'm so happy that you and I can embark upon this Lenten journey in God's grace, with His love, aware of His presence. I hope that it won't be like any other Lent prior, that we will experience God's love anew in our lives. That will happen in part because we will do our best to break the routine. We will do our best to find meaning and purpose in the disciplines we take up, because we will be open to what God has in store for us. And please God, we will be joyful about it all. With much love from all of us here at Relevant Radio, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to Lent, a time for transformation with Father Matthew Spencer. To learn more about Relevant Radio, find prayer and faith resources, hear past shows and interviews, and so much more, please visit relevantradio.com or download the free Relevant Radio app in your mobile device's app store.